The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
This is The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. Brian Mahan is the political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail and he's with me in studio. So Brian, try and make sense of the kind of latest development in this row over Dáil's speaking rights for us.
So this has been going on for well over a week now. As we speak, they're still talking. The government proposal, as it currently stands, is that there would be what is called a hybrid group, which doesn't necessarily have to include independent TDs who may or may not support the government. This hybrid group, as the government is calling it, they were calling it unaligned yesterday, apparently these words matter, would have speaking time at leaders' questions, priority questions, etc. It's just opposition time. The government just isn't calling it opposition time. The actual opposition has come forward with a counter proposal, which is very simple, which is that you can allow for a technical group of independents to sit within government, and they get government time. They would get kind of an allocation of kind of committee chairs and kind of an ability to all of the stuff that has to be divvied out to help the bureaucracy run properly. They would be treated effectively like a political party for that purpose. Right now, we're at an impasse.
Okay, so they're essentially speaking time and kind of all of these other rights to pick people for committees and everything divided between government and opposition. Yeah. And effectively, opposition are saying, you just need to count these guys as government in terms of the allocation of all of that. And they can question whoever they want in whatever way they want.
Well, fundamentally, that they wouldn't get a question during leaders' questions, which is supposed to be government versus opposition. Okay. That's the core contention. But really,
that Michael Lowry, as a supporter of government and somebody who negotiated the programme for government, couldn't eat into Mary Lou McDonald's questioning time at leaders' questions effectively. That's their chief complaint.
I think, to be fair to the government, they have said, we'll just add more time. There are more TDs and we'll just add more time to leaders' questions and priority questions, and that will solve that problem. But the opposition or Sinn Féin, Labour, Sock Dems, People for Profit are saying it's the principle of the problem that Michael Lowry went in, negotiated a programme for government, got four ministers, got a Ken Corla, has free access to the Taoiseach and Tánaiste, and yet will sit on opposition benches and get to be able to ask questions of the Taoiseach during leaders' questions. That's the core problem. The question is now, politically for the opposition, is, I think it's the law of diminishing returns. Have they made their point that the government owns Lowry, yes or no? And do they make a decision as to whether or not they get the Dáil suspended next week? And for how many times do they do that?
How much of this, though, is about kind of wanting to win the first fight? Do you know what I mean? We've got a new iteration of the Dáil and they've drawn their lines in the sand and nobody wants to retreat. Don't be the one to back down.
I think, to be fair to everyone, they have been talking and talking and talking. They're doing their best not to get to that point. But, to quote what Lyndon B. Johnson may not have said, this is about numbers. If the government decide we've done everything we can possibly do, this is our proposal, like it or lump it, they can vote for it and get it through. The question is, what does the opposition then do? And I think they probably would get the Dáil suspended maybe once or twice more. And then they'll just have to eat it, I think.
Okay, so that's your suspicion as to how this kind of plays out. A few more bun fights and then kind of everybody just relents.
The business of the Dáil has to continue, right?
Yeah.
And I think there is a recognition from some in the opposition parties, if not all, they can't do this forever. Have they made their point that Michael Lowry is a government TD, and has the public very clearly gotten that message? I think the answer to that question is yes. Mm. It's a matter of how much longer do they... Can they get a kind of a proposal that everyone agrees on, that would be brilliant. But if the government ultimately has to push it to a vote, are the opposition saying, politically, we've met our point?
There had been some speculation that mediators, the kind of the Kieran Mulvey's of this world, Kieran Mulvey has always cited these examples when people want to think of a mediator, that they'd be called in to come up with a solution. I mean, is there anything in that?
I've heard two versions of that. One is that, yes, outside mediators were brought in. Then I spoke to someone in the room and they were like, you mean Verona Murphy and Peter Finnegan, the clerk of the Dáil? And I was like, okay, well then there's not outside mediators.
Okay.
It may get to that point. There's now a suggestion, if there is no agreement by the end of today, that this is kicked back up to the leaders, i.e. Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, Ivana, and whoever goes into Mary Lou McDonald, go into a room and see if they can get a deal.
Patrick O'Donovan is Minister for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media, Fine Gael TD as well for Limerick. Minister, you're welcome to the show. Are external mediators being considered as a way through all of this?
Well, look, I'm not a party to discussions, but I know that, look, they're fairly in-depth at the moment. The government chief whip, Mary Butler, is trying her best to make sure that the terrible scenes that were shown in the Dáil 2 weeks ago are not repeated again. But like, you have to go back to basics here, and you have to go back to the foundation of the state. And right since the first government from 1922 to 1932 changed power in 1932 to Fianna Fáil, there has always been a situation where independent TDs or groupings can support the government from opposition benches and get opposition time because they're not members of the government. In other words, they're not ministers and they're not ministers of state. It happened with Tony Gregory, it happened with Mildred Fox, it happened with Jackie Healy-Ray, it happened with Tom Gilday, it happened with Fianna Fáil in 2016, between 2016 and 2020. So basically,
how Tony Gregory got a deal, he didn't write the programme for government. I mean, Michael Lowry, his fingerprints were all over it.
There were no documents of that ilk at that time. A party went out with a manifesto and it either won or it lost because you had a 2.5 party state. So there wasn't negotiations for programmes for government in 1982. So essentially what Tony Gregory got was the very same as what people that would have negotiated a programme for government would have gotten in 2025. No different.
So what deal did Michael Lowry get for the people of Tipperary that compared to what Tony Gregory got?
Tony Gregory got a constituency deal. The regional independent group got a national deal. There are no constituency deals, but the principle is the same. It's identical, and it is identical to what Fianna Fáil would have got for providing confidence and supply in 2016. So we now have an opposition that is trying to rewrite history, or in some ways, you know, kind of scrub out history. Because in 2016, when Enda Kenny asked Fianna Fáil to form a coalition with Fine Gael, and they declined but formed a confidence and supply government, they were the largest opposition party, but they had asks that were formulated into the government. They had, for instance, Michael McGrath negotiating with Pascal Donoghue the budget and expenditure. And if the rules were, if the rules that the current opposition were now seeking to apply now were applied in 2016, then that government couldn't have been formed. So, like, you cannot ignore the fact that the rules of the Dáil are very straightforward and they're very simple. The technical groups in opposition...
Are the rules wrong?
The rules are the rules.
The rules are the rules because people determine them to be the rules. Let me make my point and put this question to you. Should we change the rules? You guys are in charge of the rules, effectively. Should you change the rules? Because people at home, I don't think people at home really care how this compares to confidence supply or Tony Gregory or the foundation of the state or the handover of power in 1932. I think they kind of look at this and think, how can you be a little bit pregnant? How can you be in government and in opposition?
Well, you see, that's all very well and good if it didn't happen before, and if the rules of the Dáil that aren't laid down by the Dáil aren't as clear as they are. And just let me finish. The rules are very clear. You can be in opposition as a technical group as long as you have a minimum number of TDs and you are not an office holder. In other words, that you're not a minister or a minister of state or a member of a party in government. That is where the rules are. And the rules, as they're being applied at the moment by the Count Corla, are very clear. But there is a deliberate attempt here to try and erase everything that has been done since the foundation of the state and pretend that there was no such person as Mildred Fox, Tony Gregory, Tom Gilday, Jackie Healy-Ray, or indeed that the Fianna Fáil coalition or confidence and supply between 2016 and 2020 did not exist. That is not the case.
So you suspect that... What is going to be the outcome of this? You know, Brian from the Daily Mail, Brian Mahan, suggested that, you know, there'll be maybe a couple of more bun fights and then the opposition will eat it.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, you either accept the rules. If you become a member of a parliament, you either accept the rules of that are laid down or you decide that you're going to display the kind of scenes that we saw 2 weeks ago. The reality is, you know, there are a number of members of the technical group who are not ministers. Now, if the opposition parties, Sinn Féin, Labour, the Social Democrats and others, want to gag them and prevent them from speaking, I think that would say an awful lot about their lack of commitment to democracy.
Well, I don't think they have an issue with them speaking. I think they have an issue with them using their time to speak, opposition time to speak.
It's not their time. It's not their time. Sorry, hold on a second. It's not anybody's property. This is the Dáil's time. And the Dáil's time is distributed on the basis of the size of the groups, and each individual group gets time on the basis of their size. this time does not belong to a group. And in fact, the Chief Whip has made it very clear the Dáil can sit longer and can have more slots if that would be helpful. But to suggest that this is somebody's time, that is not the case. That's not accurate.
But leaders' questions, the time at leaders' questions is, as you say, it's allocated kind of by virtue of size of your particular group. But those questions are posed to the leader of government by opposition parties.
Yes, and in the last Dáil, for instance, Labour didn't get a slot every week. The Social Democrats didn't get a slot every week, but Sinn Féin did. And the Regional Independents got a slot every couple of weeks, and the Rural Independents got a slot every week, and the Independent Independents got a slot every couple of weeks. But the suggestion
from opposition is that this particular grouping shouldn't get a slot in leaders' questions because they're effectively a part of government.
Listen,
you can kind of disagree whether they are or they're not. We've had that round. But my point is, you're saying they don't necessarily want to gag them.
Well, that's exactly what they want to do. The suggestion is because they don't like the hue of them, because they might not like, you know, their support base or what they represent.
They want them, you know, they don't want them gagged no more than they want you gagged. They want them treated the way you are treated. They want them treated like a member of government.
Hold on, Kieran. I'm a member of the government and I'm a member of a party in government. This group of TDs are not. This group of TDs are not members of the government. They're not ministers or ministers of state. They're not members of parties. And under the rules, they are perfectly entitled, as Jackie Healy-Raye was, as Mildred Fox was, as Tony Gregory was, to be in opposition. That's the reality.
But two members of government were part of this group, and suddenly they're not part of them anymore because it suits the remaining members who don't have those jobs to go back into opposition so that they can kind of have their cake and eat it. That's the issue.
And just before you leave the bakery, in the world of, you know, in the world of Kieran, like, members of political groupings have often left before. There has, you know, if you go back far enough, you'll probably find that every independent at some stage was in a different, you know, in a different collaboration of some political hue or another. Do people have a difficulty with that? Of course they don't. People are entitled to step out of groups or step out of parties for whatever reason during the lifetime of the Dáil. That's normal practice.
Okay, well, listen, I, before I let you go, I know there's people without kind of electricity and power and who've been damaged and seen kind of facilities and services damaged by Storm Éowyn, and they're tearing their hair out listening to kind of rows about speaking time and gunfights in the Dáil. So tell me about this funding that's been released, kind of sport funding to deal with some of those impacted areas.
So what we're going to do in the Department of Sport as well, what we started doing is I've asked all of the local sports partnerships around the country, particularly the affected counties, to see what the scale of damage is. Now, for most of the more recently constructed sports facilities that would have been allocated money under sports capital, there would be a requirement on them to be insured, and a lot of the damage that has been caused there will be covered by insurance companies. But there are others that are either predate that or for whatever reason they might have been built with local funding or they might not be insured. So what first of all I want to do is get a fuller picture with regard to the sports facilities. The second thing that we want to really, I suppose, point out is a lot of the sports facilities that have been funded out of sports capital over the last number of years are now the same facilities that are being used as these emergency hubs. So I'm going to be making a change to the sports capital scheme going forward to make sure that we look at these as not only sports facilities as they have been done heretofore, but look at the most recent events and talk about resilience so that they can purchase equipment that they might not necessarily have done in the past, and that they can also look to see how these hubs, how these sports facilities can become an integral part of a response to resilience into the future.
And just one more question before I let you go, because Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball is going to be with me a little bit later. And one of the things I know Ger wants to talk about is PE in schools. And given your kind of remit with regard to sport, I know this features in the programme for government, an increase of kind of physical activity of younger people. I mean, that there was a commitment to increase physical activity in the last programme for government didn't necessarily happen. Still kind of an hour a week is often what you hear in terms of PE. What are you guys going to do to make sure there's an hour of physical activity every day in school?
So in the first instance, look, it's for Helen McEntee, the Minister for Education, but it's something that I have a big interest in, and purely from the point of view as a parent, as a teacher, as Minister for Sport, I don't believe in this thing that we should have schools that are locked up for 3 or 4 months of the year with perfectly good sporting facilities and no one can get into them. I think that we're going to have to put paid to that day. And secondly, you know, there's a lot of primary schools across the country that don't have adequate space, that don't have adequate yard space, and they might have a perfectly good community centre across the road, and it rains in this country for over 300 days a year. You know, so we're going to have to look to see if we want children to be active, we have to lead you know, from the primary schools. But I would also say, as a teacher, all of our social ills can't be solved by dumping them into primary schools either. You know, there was a time when, you know, if we want the children to recycle, if we want the children to learn how to cross the road properly, if we want the children to do this, that, or the other, get a good program and dump it into the primary schools, we also have to take responsibilities as individuals who are parents as well.
Okay, so a combination of kind of personal responsibility, more focus on physical activity at home, but something done, more done in schools on a day-to-day basis as well.
And a continued investment by my department into rural and regional Ireland and urban Ireland to make sure that we have the type of sports facilities that we're getting used to seeing now that have become so important in the last couple of days, where they'll be needed, particularly in the Midlands and the West, and that we continue to drive that out for the next 5 years.
All right. Well, listen, I know once everyone gets their feet under their desks and over their briefs and everything, ourselves, and I certainly know the lads and Off the Ball as well, we want to talk to yourself and Helen McEntee and others in government in more detail about how that can be achieved, something I know particularly Ger is a real focus on. Minister, thanks for your time. Minister Patrick O'Donovan, Brian Mahan from the Irish Daily Mail as well. Speaking of sport, Tom Barr with me after this quick break.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.